Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Chris.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Ben.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
Danny.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young boys in the schoolyard.
Shoddy Radio.
Okay, Chris, honestly, who is the girl you most regret not having sex with?
Because I had a chance to, or because I didn't have a chance to?
Just an overall regret, even if you never had a chance.
Like, well, I don't want to tell you about the girl I most regret. I want to tell you about the girl I'd most like to bang. Isn't that what you really want to know?
It was an open-ended question.
Well, I'm closing it a little bit.
So who is it?
Let's just call her Bronson.
Seriously, though. Her breasts.
Yeah, oh, God.
Like 9th or 10th grade.
Let me tell you something. But back then, there wasn't the term motorboat.
There was the term, but it only applied to actual motorboats.
There were motorboats, like on the water.
Right. It wasn't a sexually deviant act.
How many people this past summer do you think motorboated while on a motorboat?
In Oroville or just...
In all the world. I'm going to say 75,000.
Yeah. Over the entire year.
From June to September.
I think 75,000 may be a little high.
Are you going to bid $1?
I'll bid $1.
Well, got news for you. I didn't go over.
How do you know?
Actually, I came closest without going over.
Oh, man. I got to think 75,000 is high.
Because
you have to understand, you think of motorboats as common, but... most of the world doesn't have motorboats.
They have them on Dubai.
On it.
All over it.
But
and let me tell you something, there's a lot of motorboating going on in Dubai, from what I understand.
Let me tell you something. How many times in your life have you motorboated?
Oh,
the sexual act.
More times than I've motorboated on the water. I'll tell you that.
Really, though. Have you actually done a motorboat?
Yes, I've motorboated.
I want to say something. I feel like we should probably explain what a motorboat is, just in case people don't know.
I think everyone knows.
I think they do, too, but just in case.
Okay, go ahead.
You explain.
I think motorboating is best a visual definition.
Yeah, so why don't you do it to me, Walt?
So basically, if you put your face between two fine titties and just shake your head around and blow into them...
And kind of go...
Exactly. That is considered a motorboat.
Now, honestly, how many times have you motorboated? Have you really motorboated a lot?
I've definitely motorboated.
Yeah, but how many times?
I'm trying to think. Give me a minute to think. Just pull up all my motorboating exploits in the blink of an eye.
I feel like you might have them all filed in one... you could just
I'm trying to go back chronologically. I don't want to get them out of order.
Go to M for motorboat.
Let's motorboat down memory lane.
All right.
Well, obviously, I think we could all guess who my first motorboat was.
Yeah, anyone who has known Chris his whole life knows his first motorboat.
Okay.
His mom, she breastfed it. That's what you're going
for. Well, that's true. Moms would be first motorboat.
I bet you actually did motorboat your mom because you kind of drool and make a lot of noises when you're a baby. You know what I mean? Like, all babies kind of do that weird thing with their lips.
I know.
You motorboated your own mom.
Okay.
That's probably where your fetish comes from, if you want to get psychological about this.
I know. I have a few other better theories where it comes from. But anyway. So, after that, I think there was a motorboating drought for a little while.
Well, the problem
I definitely got back in the water, though. Guess which first? Anyway.
Yeah.
I would say probably about from... '01 to '03, there's a big motorboat drought.
All right.
And then there's some motorboating in '03.
Right. But when you say some motorboating, you had a steady girlfriend at this time with ample enough breasts.
I forgot about that.
With ample enough breasts.
Oh, there's plenty of motorboating from '03 to '05.
Okay, so in that time.
I think. I don't know years very well.
I know, but we both know what we're both talking about.
I do
a
now.
A specific person.
with. I wasn't even thinking about all that. But yeah, there was definite motorboating. Okay,
but what I'm asking is, you had this girlfriend as a girlfriend for 2 years.
Okay.
What would you motor? How often would you motorboat? Once a week? I mean, seriously.
Oh, okay. No, this you know is what good I mean. Question. Like, because first of all, that was an excellent question. Thank you for that. I'm glad you asked that.
All right.
You know, I'll never forget the first time.
No, really, though.
Okay, I'll tell you. I think it probably at the height, we were really kicking in. We had the most fuel, I'd say, about 3 times a week.
You seriously would motorboat 3 times a week?
But Danny, you don't have to make it a motorboating marathon. You can just motorboat a little and then move on.
So would you often...
I'd dip my toe in the water,
that's what I'm saying. Would you oftentimes motorboat even just in passing? Like, you walk... Like, the same way that some guys might walk up and, like, you
know, not passing.
Tap their girlfriends on the ass.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Oh, like, yeah. You do like a tap in the ass like while she's cooking something.
Oh, sure.
You just walk up and put your face and breast and like, hey, baby.
Oh. Whoa, look.
And then you just grab some V8 out of the fridge.
Listen, I'm not being a sexist pig. I don't know what the hell else they're there for. And if you have a steady lady and she's walking around giving you opportunities, I don't understand why you wouldn't just do that once in a while. I'm not saying I love it. Like, oh, that's just the great. It gets me off. I'm just saying that you got it there.
Right. No, that's true. There is something nice about having your face planted between two soft, nice breasts.
Makes you remember that you're alive.
But you really would do that 3 times a week? You think?
Danny, I wouldn't be surprised if it was every day.
I probably have done it 5 times in my entire life. That actual act. It's not like I haven't stuck my head between breasts and been around breasts, but I feel like, to be honest, and you're going to get grossed out by this, whenever I'm around breasts, I feel more like I am spending time licking nipples than putting my... I know you're going to hate it, but I'm being honest.
Well, listen, you're acting like boob territory is so hard to get from one A to B to C. You know, you can do everything you want all the time.
So when you motorboat, do a little nip lick?
Yeah.
Is nipple licking called some type of... activity?
Let me tell you something else. You don't have to have the finest vessel to motorboat. You'd be surprised what kind of motorboating you can do on unseaworthy vessels. You just got to get creative.
Do you think you've motorboated people more than you've fingered people? Really?
Why do you have to say people? You can say women. You can jump out on a limb and say females.
Yeah, females.
Okay. More than I've fingered.
Or finger banged or finger blasted, whichever you prefer.
Well, I would probably say, yeah, I think definitely would be a lot more.
Really?
Because it's not like you can just walk by and finger someone as they're walking by unless they have a skirt on. And even then, it's not really a welcome thing to happen quickly. They don't like being surprised with a digit, you know? But a motorboat is pleasant for everyone.
What's the response you normally get from a motorboat? Sort of like a flattered laugh, giggle?
I usually get like a scream.
A scream?
Not like a terrified scream, but like, ah! Like a pleasant, hey, surprise.
And then
scream.
Do they laugh sort of like
some laughter,
sort
maybe
of like
sometimes.
Flattered, like, oh, you.
Oh, they're always proud of it.
Those are my breasts.
They're always proud.
Just motorboated.
No one's ever not proud they get to get motorboated. Really?
I know. No. These are sincere questions because I swear to God, it's never, like, I've never done this. So it seems.
And I just think women are beautiful.
I do. I agree with you.
Well.
I
think they're very beautiful. That's why I motorboat more than you.
Here's a question. Do you think that you motorboat more often than French kiss?
No.
But I mean, you don't... But because to really French kiss, to like passionately kiss a woman, that doesn't happen as often. Because
I'm saying tongues touching.
No, I mean like full-on passion kiss. But hang on, that's probably error. Hello, who is this?
Hey, guys.
I guess I probably should introduce our guest. I'm a little embarrassed because I've only seen it spelled. I'm pretty sure I know how it's pronounced.
Oh,
but it's not,
I'm not going to help you.
But it's not the common the common spelling. But I believe his name is Eric. Is that right?
Bad so far.
Eric.
Uh-huh.
And then.
Good luck.
Well, we're just on a first name basis then, if you're not going to help me. And he's from he has a podcast of his own, which I listen to religiously, and it's called The Mustache Rangers, and I recommend it to anyone who enjoys our podcast. And it is an improv-only podcast, is that right?
That's right. We just make it up as we go along.
Now, you guys are playing two characters.
Right. It's basically the same two characters going on throughout space adventures, so it's kind of like... I guess Beckett meets Buck Rogers.
That's a great name, by the way. I think it's my favorite podcast name, Mustache Rangers.
Well, it was a improv name first, and they just got to be kind of weird, I guess. Yeah, it kind of sticks out.
You guys do improv shows. How often would you say you guys do improv shows?
I'd say it evens out to about once a month. There's a new theater opening up in Minneapolis in about a month here, and we're going to have a weekly show there.
I've seen a couple of your live shows, but only the live shows of the Mustache Rangers. Is that all you guys do live? Is basically the same?
That's mainly what we do. We used to have another improv group called Cracked Helmet, which was us, and it came from a cracked baseball helmet that my partner Corey had, and he'd put on and, you know, do the retard thing. So that's where that name came from.
Right.
But we kidnapped ourselves during a show,
uh-huh.
and didn't go over so well. So we created the Mustache Rangers as kind of a disguise group.
Wait. I'm lost. So you guys did a show in the cracked helmet?
Yes.
And it went horribly?
Well, we kidnapped ourselves within the show.
What does that mean?
Well, I started a website called Cracked Helmet Sucks,
mm-hmm.
Which was all about how our improv group sucked and how this one guy really hated us.
Right.
So eventually we had one of our larger friends come to a show with Cracked Helmet Sucks shirts on and heckle us, at which point we asked him to, you know, step out into the alley and let's discuss this. And then we just never came back inside to the show.
And so how long did the crowd sit there, would you say?
About 10 minutes.
And it was just silence, nothing on stage?
Yeah.
So then after that was the crowd. You created the Mustache Rangers because the crowd was upset. You thought that the crowds were upset?
I didn't think they were.
Oh, really? Is this true? Yes. They really got angry with you guys, so you guys put on mustaches to try to trick them?
Yeah, we weren't. Obviously, it wasn't going to trick anybody, but
right.
We thought it was funny.
So it was. Okay, now that I'm getting kind of a serious questions more. So mm-hmm. Was there like a real backlash from this? Like, kind of crowds were against you for a little while?
There was a little bit of a backlash. People cared, I guess. People were concerned.
But that's what you want. You want to be an improv group to make an ass out of the crowd, right? I mean, that's what I want. I mean, even if I'm part of the crowd, really, I would respect that. I think there's no joke. There is no joke that if it's done well, crosses any line.
Except for that time I raped your mother.
But that's a perfect example, because if you raped my mom in a funny enough way, I would have to admit, like, well, that was funny.
I'd have to use your cock for it to be funny.
Well, I don't know how you'd make it funny, but I've said this before, if you killed my mom in a funny enough way, even though we probably wouldn't be friends anymore,
to kill your mom, I better use my cock.
I'd still probably
would. Eric, do you guys get a lot of big cock joke humor in? Because I feel like we don't do enough of it, I feel.
Right.
Like.
On the Mustache Rangers?
Yeah.
It's more of a, they keep it pretty G.
No, I know. I've heard the show.
It's a hard G.
it's more innuendo than anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes a fuck slips out.
I don't know that I've ever heard a fuck slip out. It's probably been a while.
Weird.
A fuck slip out. Sounds like an official thing, a fuck slip.
Yeah,
I gave your mom a fuck slip. And she cashed it in immediately.
What was it good for?
You know what it was good for. It was good for her. Hey, listen, Eric. Let me run this by you, but you can't. You cannot steal this idea, and I'm going to take you on your honor. I'm thinking about opening an improv theater.
Hold on, let me write this down.
Wait, don't write it down.
What?
Dude, seriously.
Okay, pen's going down. Going up. Continue.
Okay. It's a room where I perform improv, and I'm going to call it Room for Improvement. That's it.
What's the part that I'm supposed to say?
Pick up your jaw. Uh-huh. Now, don't steal that idea.
No, really, I think that's a great idea.
It's a room
where
we do improv,
But also
maybe
the name
we,
of the comedy
we're not
truth
as polished as we could be.
Is room for improvement.
There's so many levels. I don't think you understand how many levels there are.
Explain to him the
well,
levels.
I think a spell check got to you before.
Explain to him the levels.
Well, there's level one is it's a room.
Okay, that's level one.
Level
you got,
two?
Eric, are you with us?
No, I've seen the room. Is it anything
room
like that?
Will have a purpose.
It's not like the room. The
it's
movie.
Not like the okay. room where we don't do something in.
Yeah.
There'll be a reason for that room.
What's the reason?
Improv.
Right. How do you... Now, take us to the second level.
We're not that good at it.
Oh, so you people might say after
but
a
we
show...
we actually really are, but we're being modest and silly, which is what yeah. I like in improv. Silly and modest.
Do you keep anything else in this room?
That's hilariousness.
Okay.
In other words that don't words that don't exist.
You keep hilariousness.
When I go to improv shows, I'll either say it wasn't funny enough or it wasn't modest enough. Or it was too funny and too modest. Or it might be too modest, not quite as funny as it could have been. There's so many different combinations and levels.
Well, four.
No,
that's a lot.
That you know improv way more than we do. We had this idea a while ago, and I
had this idea.
We collectively.
No, I told you about it. And
I
said,
told
that's
you
a great
about
idea
it.
That we just had.
I was there for the inception of
being
this idea.
There. Doesn't mean you had the idea. No, I was there. I was there when the telephone was invented. That doesn't mean I invented it.
I contributed. I feel I contributed. You I steered didn't. The co- I steered the conversation
wrong
in the direction.
You were going the opposite way.
No, I was not.
I said let's do a U-turn. Room for improvement. You were talking about arenas where we do scripted things. I said no. You got it all wrong.
Scripture Arena was my suggestion. But people would see,
where
I like that.
Where are you now and where am I now?
But my idea was it was Bible-based. It was Bible-based.
That's the part I liked, the Bible-based.
Bible-based written comedy for huge crowds. Scripture Arena.
You're going to get one of those mega churches and do...
We live right by one of the mega
churches.
We're
in mega church central.
Yeah, there's a lot of mega churches right around here.
Where are you guys?
We're in Pasadena, California, basically LA.
Gotcha.
So let's go back. Room for improvement, honestly.
We're still going with this?
Is that a good name for an improv
group? Of course it's a good name. He's not going to say so because he's already written it down on his steno pad.
So I just registered this domain.
Damn it.
Have you ever heard that name before, Room for Improvement?
I haven't.
Thank
now,
you.
Are you surprised that you haven't heard that name before? Be honest.
Pleasantly surprised.
Be honest. No, not. But why would you be pleasantly surprised that he hadn't heard that before?
He's happy for me.
Okay.
I'm a little surprised.
Is a little part of you angry at yourself for not thinking of this
a
idea?
A lot of him is angry. Furious. He's in a cold sweat right now.
Yeah, my stomach is just clenched.
Now, another question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to buy stock in Room for Improvement?
No,
that's the real reason.
How much stock? Assume the sale.
Oh, yeah. How much stock do you, how much can we put you down for?
Listen, assuming you guys are going to go public,
we will.
I would like a 51%.
We're going to call it going pubic because we're just zany in every way.
We remove L's every once in a while just to keep things less.
Ellis.
What's the worst name for an improv group that you've ever heard? Don't worry, none of the improv groups in Minneapolis listen to Shoddy Radio.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with an M. Do you want us to guess?
Well, they have to be a pun, which is the main issue.
See, but Room for Improvement, that's what's amazing about it. It's a pun.
So it's like any other improv group.
Hang
name.
On.
But it's better.
Tell him about the levels again. I don't All think right. he remembers the levels.
There's at least six levels.
Listen, have you tried typing improv into a spell checker?
It doesn't. Listen to me. This isn't room for spell check.
Because there isn't any.
We take certain liberties with spelling, okay?
Yeah.
Please.
You're
now, why don't you tell us a brilliant idea that you have, and we'll shit on it like you tried to pretend to shit on my point.
So we understand you're in a group called Mustache Rangers.
Yeah.
Yes. No.
That was such a weak fart noise. I couldn't even figure out what was going on.
It was trying to be spontaneous.
You got to seal it, Chris. Yeah. When you get your hand
I know. I actually do like the name Mustache Rangers. I'm a big enough man to admit when I like a name a guy thought of. It takes a big man to be able to do that.
Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio. Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio. Shoddy
Radio.
Shoddy
Radio. Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio.
Shoddy Radio.
You've been doing improv how long?
15 years.
Really?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Holy
Started
cow.
In high school.
That's awesome.
Well, actually, we did too, but then we stopped for 14
we
years.
We stopped.
We took a 14-year break.
We're still on hiatus.
No one quite has the resume that I do. Did some high school shows, got fired from comedy sports, took a couple years off.
What's comedy sports?
Oh, you guys don't have comedy sports?
We have both of those activities. I don't know that anyone has combined them.
It is a kind of short form improv. It's a franchise, I guess, spread out around the country where you have two teams who battle it out with each other with kind of whose line is it anyway.
See, we don't know that much about improv. We like it, but we don't know that much about it.
We don't understand it.
But that's where you come in. Now you're a 15-year veteran. You have tenure in improv, right?
In improv, yes.
Mm-hmm. So I was hoping you could give us some quick lessons.
Okay.
In improv, like, what's the first rule of improv? Is it the never first... talk about improv? Are you gonna hang up again?
Oh man, you guys!
If it's your first.
Great. I can't teach you anything.
If it's your first night, you have to improv.
All right. What's the real first rule?
Well, the first rule is just to don't fucking worry about it.
Okay. Don't fucking. You're writing this down, right, Chris?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Right.
Don't fucking worry about it. I know there's a rule of yes and.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what does that mean?
There's all sorts of rules. But following the rules just gets you all mucked up in the head.
Is that right? Is that true?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's good to, you know, not, you know, shit on what your partner's giving you, pretty much.
Yeah, you hear that, Chris?
Right. Like when I gave you a brilliant idea for an improv group.
I led you directly into Room for Improvement. I wanted you. No, you were having a bad
week. I'm not talking about you. You tried to steal the idea. I'm talking about our friend Eric.
Oh, all right. I thought you were telling me, yeah. Well, we're not trying to give him that idea.
No, but a little encouragement wouldn't have killed him.
All right. So, okay. This is Room for Improvement's first show. This is our first official show. Eric, you are you're not a member. You're a guest host.
I'm the director.
You're the director. That's what I meant to say.
All right.
You're the director. Now, are there like improv games we could play? Maybe we could play like an improv game.
Sure.
you laughed like that's not the purest way to do it.
It is, right?
No, I don't do this shit.
Oh, that's, do you not do improv games?
Hack. We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
When you're on stage doing improv and you say, give me a location, do you guys just wait a while and then say, I think I heard pet store? Because that's what it seems like always. Like, whose line is it anyway?
Yeah, Drew Carey's constantly hearing shit I didn't hear.
What we do is we get something and then we just throw it away.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
You were going to tell us about improv games.
Oh, right. All right.
You want to try to do the call-in show idea?
Sure.
This is not going to go well. Okay, but we have to commit to it, guys. That's
the
thing.
Yeah.
I'm not good at committing to things because
you're a man.
No, because I always know I can just erase things. So then if I feel awkward, I just will be like, I don't want to do this. But we're gonna do this. So, all right. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Eric. It was great having you. And we're gonna, Chris, you have to leave early as well. Is that right?
I do too. Maybe we'll all talk to each other again sometime in the future.
Probably not. But I'm gonna sit here and I'm just gonna take some calls. So, it was good talking to you, Eric. And again, you want to get a plug in for the Mustache Rangers before you go? Where can we find the Mustache Rangers?
You mean at MustacheRangers.com, no matter how you spell it?
You have bought all of the possible misspellings of Mustache Rangers?
Mustache and mustache.
All right. And Chris, where can we find you?
You can find me in my room. I mean, in the other studio.
All right.
Next door.
Okay.
Is that the room for improvement?
Excuse me?
Sorry?
In what?
Improvement.
Thank you.
All right. Well, it was great having you on, Eric. And I'll talk to you later, Chris. Talk to you next week, everyone. Oh, wait, no. Everyone else, go ahead and call in now.
Oh, sorry. Click.
See you later, Chris. Don't you want to walk out of here? By slapping your knees like, oh, all right, there you went.
Who's your Foley guy?
What the who is that? Where did that come from?
Ooh.
So the studio's haunted. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and take some calls. I'll add in the sound effects for ringing later. Whoever wants to go first, be a character. Maybe I should throw a subject out that we can take some calls on. I had a tough day at work today, you know, and the main problem was traffic. Man, traffic in LA is tough. It just seems like everyone's trying to get out of town at the same time. Maybe you guys could call in with your traffic horror stories. Looks like we got Jamal on line one.
Hello. This is Jamar.
Oh, I'm sorry. It said Jamal. The call screener put Jamal. It's Jamar?
Jamar.
Okay. How you doing, Jamar?
Doing all right. I had a similar to you. I had a tough day in the traffic.
Is that right?
Yeah. I live in Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And there must have been one car ahead of me.
Oh, man. That sounds tough.
And I know exactly who it was.
Who was it? Let me guess.
It was Dennis.
I knew it was going to be Dennis.
I hate that guy.
Well, I don't really actually know Dennis, to be honest. But I feel like, because of your tone, Dennis is a really slow driver.
Oh, he's super slow.
Now, where were you headed? Were you headed back home?
I was headed out to... I was headed to my home, yes.
Now, where do you live?
I live in a hole. covered with snow.
What's the address there?
4.
That's it? Not even a street name?
No, just 4. It's the 4th house in Alaska.
All right. Well, it was great hearing from you. I hope it's better tomorrow. Where do you work? I meant to ask, where do you work?
I work at the other hole. I work at 5.
How's that going?
It's all right. I'm looking for, there's no place to grow in the company.
Right. Are you guys union over there at 5?
Oh, I wish.
Yeah. It's tough when you get overtime. Is there a lot of OT?
Yeah, there's a lot of OT. Sometimes the night doesn't end there. So we just keep going.
Is that in summer or winter?
Yeah.
All right, well... thanks for calling in, Jamar. And keep on listening. Keep on trucking, man.
You too, man. Love the show.
Thanks. All right, now looks like we got Victor on line 2. Victor.
Actually, my name's Crud.
Victor, what? Oh, Victor's line 3. I'm sorry. Crud, how you doing, Crud? Are you my father?
No, I'm just some other guy named Crud.
All right. So do you have a traffic horror story today, Crud?
I do. I was riding around on my bicycle on Rusty Dusty Road.
Is that where you live, on Rusty Dusty Road?
Yeah, it's past the fork in the road. The fork is so ugly.
You know, so where do you work? Where do you work, Crud?
You know what?
I don't know. I just don't really like your voice. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, should I try something else?
Oh, no. I was. You don't have to quit.
No, my name's Victor. I was fucking with you.
Oh, that's, you were pretending to be my dad.
Yeah, because I listen to the show all the time. Oh. I'm a longtime listener, first time caller.
All right. Well, thanks. That, you had me, though. First, I thought you were my dad. Then I thought you were someone doing an impression of my dad that I didn't exactly like because it sounded like a gay, annoying version of my dad.
I was mocking your dad as a practical joke.
All right.
Which I knew you would love.
I'm not sure I like your voice either, Victor.
Why? This is the voice God blessed me with.
Good night.
You're so funny. That's why I always listen to the show.
All right, Vic, so where do you work?
Where do I work? I work at the place that makes Christmas tree lights.
Lamps?
Huh?
Christmas tree lamps?
Lights.
Lights, I'm sorry. All right, I don't know much about the Christmas tree light industry.
Oh, God, it's so exciting.
Where is it located? Is there like one, like, you know, Detroit is sort of like...
It's located in the North Pole. Just kidding. We like to keep a festive atmosphere all year round.
But well, my point was, you know, Detroit, that's a lot of the cars are made in Detroit. Is there like one place in the world where most of the Christmas tree lights are made or manufactured?
They're manufactured everywhere that children have hopes and dreams.
Well, where do you work?
I work... wait, didn't I say earlier?
You told me what industry you're in, but I mean what town?
What town?
What part of the country are you in?
I live in Lodi.
Oh, that's pretty near here. This is California?
Yeah. I've been stuck in there for a long time.
Right. I had a feeling you were going to say that.
I like Credence references.
All right. So how do you like working for the Christmas tree light industry? And what is your job specifically at the Christmas tree light facility?
My job is to make sure that no two colors are ever placed right next to each other on the strand.
But what about, you guys must not do the all white ones then. You know, they have those Christmas tree lights that are...
It's a huge controversy.
But you, so your plant doesn't do that?
No. Well, like I said, well, originally we did purely rainbow colored.
Right.
Which was the way I preferred it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Oh, I don't understand what you're saying right now.
I'm just not surprised.
I'm a purist.
Okay, that's what I meant.
And now they're bringing out these snow white daisy chains of all white or all baby blue.
And you are not a fan of those.
Why would I be a fan of those?
I
told you I'm a purist.
Right. So your job is to make sure none of the light, there's no two lights right next to each other. You ever have any weird stories where like maybe three oranges come down in a row or something like that?
Oh, God, all the time.
So do you have to
stop? Don't even get me started.
Do you have to stop the line? Like,
no, there's no stopping the line.
So you just have to move that quick.
Listen, when you're in the fast-paced industry of Christmas tree light checking to make sure there's no two colors in a row, you don't stop the line.
That's the name of the...
You never stop the line. That's rule number one.
What's rule number two?
There is no rule number two. You know what rule number two is? See rule number one.
I thought you just told me there was no rule number two.
There isn't an official one. I was being silly. Like, your show is always silly. All right. I thought you might appreciate it.
I did. I was just playing games.
Anyway, I think we're talking about traffic.
Yeah, so is there a lot of... I feel like there's not that much traffic in Lodi. Lodi is not a huge town.
Oh, my God. There's no traffic at all.
So that's good, right?
I guess.
All right, Victor. Well, I appreciate you calling, but we got a couple more calls to get to, so...
I love you.
All right. Next line we have, is that Farbod on line two? Is that what that says?
Farbod Shahidi.
Chris.
Hello, Danny John.
Oh, Hey, how's it going? Is it
Danny June, this is Farbad Shahidi.
Hello, Farbad. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Danny June. Oh, my goodness. I am trying so hard for cardio. Are you with Chris?
Actually, yeah, Chris, you just came back in. Where did you go, Chris?
I had to go away on business.
For just like 8 minutes?
Hello, Chris.
Hello,
this is Farbad Shahidi.
It's been so long since I've talked to you.
You are give Danny June the phone, please.
We can both hear you at the same time.
You can hear me, Danny June. Hello, this is Farbad Shahidi. I have a question for you. It's traffic.
Yeah, you're calling in about yesterday, the traffic topic.
Right now, I am telling you this, Danny June. Yesterday, I was driving on the freeway. It's 405.
The 405 freeway. Right. I'm sorry. Say that again.
Yes, we are going north.
Who is we?
Me, Farbad Shahidi, my cousin Eliran Govdanfar, and my cousin Hassan.
Okay, so you're heading north on the 405.
Hassan is behind me in the car, but next to me is this motherfucker. I swear to God, this motherfucker is look at me. So I say to him, he can hear me, because my convertible is down, is Mercedes. I say to him, motherfucker, why are you look? This motherfucker, I'm not thinking. Look at me. I say, motherfucker, why you are look? Eliran Govdanfar, my cousin, say, this motherfucker is look. I say, I know this motherfucker look. Hassan say, same thing, this motherfucker look. But why are you looking? This motherfucker, he pull over car. I pull over my car. Hassan is pull out knife. This motherfucker is running.
He's from Iran. Now, where are you from? I'm sorry. I know where you're from. I just want you to share with the radio where you're from.
Where I am from, Tehran, Iran.
Right. So you don't like people from, where was he from?
405.
No, you guys are on the 405, but where was this other guy from?
But he was also on 405.
No, you're
what part of the world did he come from?
Yeah, what part of the world did this other guy come from?
We were north on 405 in San Fernando, so he's come from west side.
What I mean, originally,
that's all right.
What part of the world?
I know what you are saying. I know he is white man.
Okay.
But he have no money. My car is very nice. His car is Honda. But it is not new Honda. It is old Honda. This old Honda?
What a loser.
What a pathetic.
Yes, loser. Loser. Chris, I tell you this. He does not have a big dick.
You want me to put Chris back on the phone?
Nobody in a Honda has a big dick.
Why you must have a big dick for a nice car?
Why?
Why?
For a beach.
No, yeah, that's true. You get a lot more women in a nice car.
I've heard that.
Many, many beach. You have a bigger car, more women. You have more expensive car, more women.
I gotcha.
It's a good equation.
Hang on, let me check his math. Really quick. Carry the. Yep, that's
Chris,
true.
Yes.
Chris, you have a big car.
I have a huge car, but it's skinny.
You have an expensive car.
It's about a, reasonably priced.
Nice. Danny Jones has a small car.
No, I have a big ass car. No,
he has a very small, crooked.
I've seen your car. His small car is red car.
And it's crooked.
It looks like beach lipstick.
It looks crooked. Like a little dog dick.
No, Chris, are you see Danny June's car? His lipstick.
I've seen it. It looks like a bent dog dick.
My car Danny does?
Yeah, it does. I've always thought that.
Danny June.
Yeah.
You are still have a girlfriend, yes?
Yeah, I still have a girlfriend. But I feel like we're
going to have one girlfriend.
That's all I need. When you get a good one, that's all you need.
Chris, is Danny bitch?
He is very much bitch.
Is he one bitch?
No, let me stop you.
He is one bitch who has only one bitch.
Danny John, I have a nice car. You can be in my nice car if you are a bitch.
How many cars do you have, Farbad?
I have one car, boat, and my cousin is have one plane. My other cousin is have three car, but I have keys, so I have many cars.
Now, how many women do you have, or bitch, as you call them?
Danny John. For something, there are number. For more thing, there are not number. There is what you see with your eyes. If you are stand on the street when I am drive by, you'll say, oh my goodness, this motherfucker. How many women? One, two, I don't know. Three, yes.
So the number is three.
Where are you when you are seeing me in my car? Maybe it's four.
Oh, that's true. It could be.
Where are you when you are seeing me in my boat? Maybe two.
I expect
maybe ten.
A big boat.
Yeah, that's a nice boat. So you never told us what happened with this the poor white guy in the Honda.
So this motherfucker is bring car to side of road.
Yeah.
I bring my car to side of road. He get up, say, motherfucker, but I say motherfucker. Hassan, my cousin Hassan, who is behind me, Hassan is pull out knife, and this motherfucker is running. But Danajun, he is running, and the car is on side of road, and he is run.
He's running away from you, or he's running to fight you?
No, he's run away. No, he's not run fight. Danajun, you have seen me?
Yeah. You're a big...
The poor white man does not run at me. When my cousin is have knife,
right.
I have my other cousin who have three cars, and I am in my car. Danny June, you don't want to fight me.
I don't blame him for running, I'll be honest. What about you, Chris?
I wouldn't have run because I'm not a beach.
We are not at the beach, we are at 405.
Oh, I misheard you.
It's near the beach. It's on the west side.
That's, I thought he was at the beach.
It's an easy mistake to make. Well, it seems like this is the way that most of your fights go. You call someone a motherfucker. Hassan pulls a knife. They run.
Damage, motherfucker, sometimes I'll be very, very bad. But the motherfucker not stupid.
Right, that's true.
It's a stupid motherfucker who I am fight. Smart motherfucker, run, and I take their bitch.
Well,
if they were a smart motherfucker, they would never look at him to begin with.
Yeah, that's my point. If they can't be that smart, why are they looked to begin with?
Danny June, you are smart motherfucker, but you are see so much gold. You are smell so much cologne. Danny June, you are look.
They're just trying to see where the smell's coming from. Well, all right. Well, thanks for calling in, Farvad. We're going to take some more calls on traffic, but I appreciate the call.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Where is Ben?
Ben just had a baby, so we're doing some shows without Ben.
Oh, my goodness. Ben is a little baby.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. 100,000 blessings to Ben and his house.
That's very generous.
It really is. We'll pass them along to him.
Yes.
All right. Well, good night, Farbot.
Good night.
Good night, buddy.
Chris, good night.
Good night, my friend.
Thank you.
Shoddy Radio is produced by Jeff Franklin Productions with Miller Boyette Productions in association with Lorimar Television and is distributed by Warner Brothers Domestic Television Distribution.